Raymart, and we are here with Sister Beverly Woodward joining us for another podcast episode. Sister Woodward, a faithful prayer warrior and a ladies leader at Capital Community Church in Fredericton, New Brunswick. She is also mother to Matt and Emily and a faithful ministry partner and wife to Brother Raymond Woodward. Thank you, Sister Woodward, for joining us today.
You're welcome. Happy to be here.
So to start off, we'll just ask you about, tell us something about your conversion and your calling.
Well, I was raised in Cambridge, Ontario, and sent to Sunday school as a child to an Assemblies of God church. And, you know, I just want to say never underestimate the value and the importance of Sunday school, because it was there that something was planted in my heart to just be good and to want to do what was right. So, I went to Sunday school, but my mom and dad did not go to church. Actually, my dad was born and raised in Ripples, New Brunswick, and when he was about 18, he moved to Ontario and met my mother up there. They had three kids, and basically, for about 20 years, he never served God, never went to church, but sent us kids to Sunday school, as I mentioned. And basically, one Sunday morning in his late 30s, he decided that he and Mom were going to go to church. And they went to that Sunday morning service and went down to the altar and gave their hearts and lives to God. And that was the beginning for our family. And nothing was ever the same after that. It was just wonderful. And all of us kids followed in my dad's footsteps, my mom as well. And it was just a few months after that that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Oshawa, Ontario, at a youth convention. And then shortly after that, I was baptized in Jesus' name. And then it wasn't too long after that, I was about 12 years old this time, that I, or my whole family actually, we moved to Brunswick. And for my dad, it was coming home, back to Ripples. And that's exactly where we moved to, is Ripples. And for 5 years, I lived in Ripples. And I look back with great fondness. It was just such a wonderful time in my life as a young Christian, as a young person. It was just a place where I really got established. And it was just a great foundation, and it was just a wonderful time. We had such a great youth group there, and we just, you know, had fun together and served God together and loved life together. It was just a great time, and I had great leadership. The Nickersons were there, and the Kinneys were there while I was there. I think even a little bit of Brother and Sister Allison Post. And so it was just a great and wonderful time, and that was kind of the beginning for me. And, you know, as far as my calling, as you mentioned in the question, you know, it wasn't really something that was a grand and glorious moment where God just spoke to me, you know, this is what you were going to do. But instead, it was just, you know, I think I would say it was just kind of like I walked into my calling, because it was after that 5 years of living in Ripples, we moved to Fredericton, and I finished my last year of high school. Then I attended this college, which was then UPBI, and it was a wonderful time in my life as well. Met my husband there about halfway through second year. It all started with a phone call and just kind of went from there, and it was wonderful. And I guess after I met him, my calling, as you say, kind of maybe opened up a little bit more, and I kind of saw, you know, my path unfolding. But, yeah, it was wonderful. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, right? Yeah. So I think day by day, the Lord just led me into it. And it's just been wonderful.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful story for sure. The next question here is, what would you consider as your primary ministry right now?
Well, you know, I don't really know that I have a primary ministry. Honestly, maybe someone else would look on and say, no, this is your primary ministry. But for me, I don't know. I've always just kind of dabbled in a little bit of everything. I've worked with children a fair amount. Now, mind you, in the last 10 years, I haven't so much, because we just have a great team at the church. And they've kind of taken over, and that's wonderful. I've always been involved in music. In fact, you know, we started out as my husband was a music minister.
Yes.
And so music has been a big part of our lives. So I love the praise and worship end of that. I lead the ladies ministry at our church with the help of Sister Kathy Lehman and Annette Porter even. That's another little avenue of ministry. And I also see the value and the necessity of prayer. And a person's individual life and in the life of a church. And I kind of get together with a bunch of ladies every Tuesday night. We have ladies' prayer meeting, and it seems like maybe a small thing, but yet that undergirding of prayer in a church is so important, and I love and value the necessity of prayer. And so I guess those are a few of my heartbeats. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a little bit of everything. But I'm very much of a team player, and I love teamwork, and I love to just kind of push with the team and get behind what is going on and doing my part, no matter what the task or ministry. There's always a place where something is needing to be done, right? And so I always feel like, hey, we're never too mature, we're never too whatever, to get our hands dirty and mm-hmm. just kind of like do the nitty-gritty of ministry work, whether it's cleaning washrooms or whatever. You know, a little bit of that doesn't hurt us every now and then. It kind of, yeah, puts us on the same plane.
Right, we're the need of the hour.
That's right. That's right.
The best ministry.
Yeah.
The next question here is, what are the top three things that you and your husband do to support each other's ministry?
Well, I would kind of like to come at that question from my angle. Mm-hmm. As far as him supporting me, yes, he's always been very supportive, of course. And, you know, I think he's probably believed in me more than I believed in myself at times. But he's been very supportive always. I've always looked to him for advice. He's pretty much always had a pretty good head on his shoulder. And I always have looked to him for direction and guidance and loved that. But as far as what I do to support my husband's ministry, I think the first word that comes to my mind is flexibility. And that has been something that I have found through the years that is just very important, to be flexible in ministry. Not being demanding or whiny or needy. You know, I hear through the grapevine sometimes that, you know, women, wives, pastors' wives even, can be kind of like contending for, oh, but we haven't had our date time this week, or we haven't had our family time this week, like, you're working too much, you're doing too much of this, that, and the other. I just feel like, you know, if you open your hands and just, you know, say, God, I'm here for you, I'm here for the work of the ministry, I'm here to be a support to my husband, whatever is going on, hey, I'm going to flex, I'm going to work with it, I'm going to flow, things go much better. And as we all know, when we open our hands and our hearts, it always flows back to us. And God is never a debtor. Whatever we give, he always gives back, and even more, right? So, yeah, I just think it's very important to be someone that can adjust easily, make our husbands, I'm speaking from a pastor's wife's point of view, make our husband's ministry a priority and the church a priority, and things will go so well instead of our own agendas. Just make, his ministry a priority. Second of all, I would say just to be a very practical support to my husband. And by that I mean just the nitty-gritty of life. Seriously, just being a helper. The Bible talks about us as women being a helper to our husbands. And I've heard my husband say in a message that there's only one other person in the Bible that's spoken of as a helper, and that is the Lord himself. So, you know, we should consider it a high calling as women to be a helper to our husbands. And on a practical level, things like just making sure the house is kind of a warm and inviting place for him, having meals prepared. It doesn't have to be perfect all the time. It can be kind of slap happy, and you don't have to be a pro chef all the time, but just having, you know, meals ready for him, good grub on the table. Even doing laundry, just the simple thing, you know, called laundry. You know, I've always really wanted to make sure that I just had his white shirts ready, his dress shirts ready, pressed, ironed, ready to go in the closet. Mind you, I haven't always, you know, I've been up late some nights doing that, but that's okay. And that probably sounds a little bit old-fashioned to some people, but I'm thinking, you know, my husband's got a very important job, I feel. You know, anybody in ministry, any pastor, I feel like they have a very important job. And why wouldn't I come alongside and just try to help with just the simple things that maybe would just kind of bog him down if he had to look after those things. So yeah, I'm just so happy to do those things, even like taking the car for service, right? Car appointments, whatever, getting gas every now and then, just like the little simple things that just make life so much easier and ministry life so much easier. So that would be the second thing that I would say. And the third thing that I would mention would be to not only to be a practical support, but to be that spiritual support to him, to be that prayer support for him, and not just for him, but for the church, interceding and covering, interceding for him, being that prayer support for him, behind the scenes, just covering him with prayer all the time is so important. I really can't say enough about that, but it's just so important to be pushing in the same direction spiritually with him and just, you know, giving it all you've got, heart, soul, mind, and body. So yeah, those are basically the three things that I would say that I try to do to support my husband's ministry. I also hear sometimes that pastors' wives get so bogged down and they're so feeling so depleted and deprived and, you know, depressed. And I'm like, to me, being a pastor's wife is just a joy. So much of a joy, and I feel so privileged and honored. And I never set out to, you know, I never thought when I was a 15-year-old kid or 18 years old, I never thought, oh, I want to be a pastor's wife. That wasn't in my mind. It just kind of evolved. I went to Bible college, wasn't really sure of my future, but I went and just loved God, served God, wanted to do what he wanted me to do, and it just kind of evolved. And, you know, I found myself, you know, moving into that role. But I just always felt like, what an honor, what a privilege. Like, wow, God, thank you so much. So I really don't get this, you know, feeling like bogged down or like stressed out. Like, no, it's such a joy to come alongside of my husband and be a support, a helper. I just find it truly a privilege all the way around.
Thank you. It's wonderful. Maybe your top three advice for young people who are maybe looking for or considering having a ministry partner.
You know, moving on to, you know, choosing a partner and giving advice to people that are still single and looking. I would say, first of all, just plain and simple, just make sure that you are truly wholeheartedly serving God yourself. And just going after God with everything that's within you, putting God first. And we all know that if we put God first and seek the kingdom of God first, then he will just add all of these other wonderful things into our lives, right? And we can just rest assured that if he has that, if he intends for us to be married, then he will make that happen and it will be wonderful. But we just have to keep ourselves in the right place and always seeking him. And of course, to be always asking God to lead us to the right person. You know, of course, that's just a given. But I do feel that it's very important to not just be trying to always, you know, fast track it or force that. Those are the kinds of things that you just need to let unfold gradually in your life and let God, you know, unfold it basically. Let him do the work. It's all about keeping our own hearts in the right place, and God will just do the work and orchestrate all of those details if we just keep our own hearts in the right place. Because if we try to just, you know, make it happen ourselves, so many times we just mess things up, right? So that's the first, you know, important thing, is just seeking God ourselves. Secondly, I would say that, you know, if we do find ourselves interested in someone, that we just really need to make sure that that person is a hard worker, that they don't mind, as we talked about earlier, getting their hands dirty, just, you know, having a servant's heart, basically, being a servant and doing whatever, you know, they can to push forward the kingdom of God. And, you know, you just need to make sure that that person is that kind of a person, that they have a servant's heart, that they are just willing to do whatever needs to be done. Not a lazy bone in their body. Jesus said that the greatest is the servant of all, right? So important for us all. You know, the one that's looking and the one that you're looking at, to be a servant. And I would also say that you need to make sure that on a spiritual level, they are totally sold out to God. Like, that is so important. Of course, we all know that, but we need to observe and watch them in church. You know, are they worshipers? Are they just like fervently worshiping God and just giving it all they've got? You don't want someone that's a deadhead. You know, just like too relaxed in church. No, they've got to be up and at them. You know, getting behind the message, the pastor, the message that he's preaching, like I said, worshiping God with their whole heart. Being at the altar is a very important one, too. We've often heard pastors say, find your spouse at the altar, right? Yeah. And that is so important, to make sure that they are someone that is at the altar, consecrating their lives on a continual basis, lingering at the altar, seeking God, praying for others at the altar. So important. And that they're a person of prayer. You know, that they're at prayer meetings, that they know how to pray and get a hold of God. This is so important. Those are just like stuff that's got to be in place, right, in their lives, if you're considering them for a lifetime partner. Yeah, for sure. And that they love people and that they care about people. And it's also important. I would say don't settle for anything less. Just wait until God just brings that person to you. And he will. Mm-hmm. He will.
Thank you. Next question here is, how do you deal with the times when your spouse travels, maybe extensively because of the ministry? And maybe you can talk about the time that when you were raising kids and this present time too.
Yeah, okay. Well, when our kids were younger, my husband didn't travel nearly as much. It was mainly just, you know, some district things, some maybe neighboring districts. I mean, we were going to Ontario for Youth Convention several years in a row. We linked up with the Lehmans and did, you know, the music up there. And travel back then was not an issue. We sometimes joined him, sometimes we didn't. But it wasn't a lot anyway, so it wasn't a big issue. Now, things are very different. Of course, our kids are grown up and gone now, although Matt probably, you know, had a little taste of that before he left. His dad traveling, but it's just very different now. Sometimes I do kind of like, I don't know, I just think, oh Lord, this is like maybe a little bit too much. But then at the same time, I think, no Lord, that's between you and him, and I just leave that up to you. You orchestrate that, Lord. You know, just open doors, close doors, just that's not, I feel like it's not for me to say yay or nay. That's between him and the Lord. And, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, I'm proud of him. I get behind him and I support him in every way concerning his travels. You know, it's all good. I pray for him. I cover him with prayer. It's a season in our lives, right? And this too shall pass. So, you know, in 5, 10 years, whatever, I'm sure things will start to kind of, you know, dwindle as far as the travel bit, and things will kind of balance out. But for now, it is what it is, and it's okay. You know, I travel with him maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
Yeah.
I don't travel a lot with him, but, you know, I always say it doesn't sound like a lot, 3 or 4 times a year compared to his schedule. But to me, I'm like, hey, I'm traveling quite a bit, 3 or 4 times a year. But I know compared to him, it's not much at all. But you know what? it's working well, and it is what it is, like I said, and as the Lord leads, right? Yeah. So it's all good. It's all good.
Thank you. And this is the last one here. Talk to the young women who might be listening right now to our podcast here and who are feeling a call of God or a desire to be used of God.
You know, again, and I'm just kind of starting out here, probably repeating myself a little bit, but, you know, what I just talked about, you know, as far as what we look for in a spouse, that's what you need to be yourself as well. Just totally sold out to God, loving God with all of your heart, and just doing everything that you know to do as a young woman, just to please God, to do everything you can, just in the work of God, even the nitty-gritty of the work of God. You know, the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, then do it with all your might, right? And so I think that we don't need to be looking for things to come to us, or opportunities to come to us, sitting waiting for those. No, we need to be up and at him, working in the work of the ministry, doing whatever we can do, getting behind our pastors, our church, and just making ourselves available. Hey, I'm here, whatever you need. Just even not waiting to be asked, just to do things that you see that need to be done around the church. Being, again, that servant and having a servant's heart. And when you are that way, it's just, you know, it's just going to keep unfolding and opening up for you, because you're already working in ministry. You're applying yourself. You're taking the initiative. So you can be sure that God's just going to reward that and say, hey, I'm going to give back to you. I'm going to open doors for you because you are giving of yourself. And that's what it's all about, right? Yeah, just being that servant. I would also add, just, you know, of course, the stuff that we all know, but just we've got to make sure they're in place. Being a prayer warrior, just being that person that knows how to get a hold of God and just praying and making that a big part of your life. And, of course, the Word of God, just saturating yourself with the Word of God. And being engaged at church, like I talked about earlier as well. Just totally plugged in when you're at church. You know, not just sitting there with a lackadaisical attitude or just apathetic. No, but just being up and at him and getting behind the preaching and worshiping with exuberance, you know, that showing God that you are truly so thankful and so in love with him. Being up at the altar, like we talked about earlier, praying with people. Basically just being passionate and on fire for God to the best of your ability. I think it's just so important. Just looking for opportunities to be a light to those that are unsaved, just looking for those opportunities, because we know that's God's heart. Just being a missionary in your own little circle of your life, your community, whatever. Yeah, just smile, be sweet, be kind, love people. You know, when we apply all of these things and we try to do all of these things and incorporate all of these things into our lives, we can be sure that God's just going to open doors. I just believe that God opens doors to people that are already up and at them, working hard, applying themselves, doing what they know to do. That's, I believe, you know, who God notices and says, hey, you're already proving yourself. So I'm just going to move you on in ministry and keep you going. So yeah, no, it's just, I don't know. To me, it's kind of a no-brainer. And I feel bad for some people that kind of sit in the wings waiting for God to open doors. And they're just kind of like, yeah, you know, watching the clock, as it were. When are you going to open doors for me, God? Well, no, that's not the way to do it. I really, truly, honestly feel bad for some people that are just waiting for doors to open. You know, they can wait a lifetime. And I've seen it happen. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad when all they need to do is just give of themselves each and every day to first to God and to his word, to others. And it's just going to unfold, because that's how God and his kingdom works, right? Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sister Woodward, for your time and all the advices and the wisdom.
Well, I don't know.
It is a blessing to our listeners. So to end this podcast episode, maybe you can pray for our listeners, just to end this.
All right. Lord, we thank you so much, God, for this opportunity. We know that you are here with us, and even to the listeners that are listening. God, we just pray that you would help us all to be the very best that we can be. God, to love you with passion, to serve you with passion, to give ourselves wholeheartedly, God, because we know that you are a God of passion. You are a God of zeal, and that's, Lord, what you portrayed to us, and you gave your life. You gave everything that you had, Lord, and that is a true picture of passion. And so, God, we can do nothing but to give passion back to you and to love you with our whole hearts. And so, God, I just pray for every listener that you would help them to just gain this understanding and to also give of themselves in every way to you and watch what you will do in their lives and by opening doors and just letting wonderful things happen in their lives. And we pray that you would bless Raymart and his ministry, and we just pray for the Bible College, NCC. We love NCC. We just pray a great blessing upon them, the staff, the teachers, the students. And Lord, that you would just let revival be in their midst and in our churches in the district. God, we just owe you so much. We're so thankful for your goodness, your salvation, and you are such a great God, and we give you all the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you again, Sister Woodward.
You're so welcome.